Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 11 of the Ball 5 podcast, the baseball podcast that, for the first time in our history, is recording in the same room. I am DJ Lopes, your host, and sitting now, like, 3 feet across from me is my co-host and my brother, Chris Lopes. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, it is very funny that this is the first time, considering we both live in the same state. I'm here practically every week, so it's just one of those things that... You know, don't want to dox DJ, but he still lives with our parents. So I could easily do this all the time, but I don't. So
yeah, and also, even the other way around, I'm only like a 15-minute drive away from you. So conceivably, we could do this more often, and it might be even more cost-effective since we wouldn't have both needed to have a mic. But regardless, we're here. So a couple things around the MLB right now. We're mostly going to do this podcast on the World Baseball Classic that is coming up in a couple of weeks now. We're both pretty excited for that, the first time in 6 years that the event has been happening. But first, we wanted to kind of, you know, touch on some early signs of spring training. You know, it's pitchers and catchers have finally reported. It's one of the greatest times of the year. You start getting a lot of really grainy batting practice footage from a ton of beat writers. And you already start to get some of the, you know, signs of discomfort earlier in the year. We got our first Jacob DeGrom is being held out of pitching. Sign which, you know, I don't want to get too deep into it because at a certain point I almost feel bad for him because this is definitely not like the side where the two Mets podcasters are going to be like, oh, that's what you get. Good luck, Texas, and whatever, because I don't want to wish injury on a guy like Jacob. He's, by all intents and purposes, a good guy and never did us any harm, really. But, you know, I almost feel bad for him because when you are at a level having that much of injuries, like, tied to you, as a player, I wonder if most of his symptoms that he feels, especially in spring training, are just, like, really small symptoms that, like, any other pitcher you would just not look at very often. But since it is Jacob DeGrom, and since Jacob has gone through so many of these issues with injuries, I wonder if it's just something that's really just amplified. I mean, it is definitely amplified for him, but I wonder how much of it is just, like, actual him being hurt, or how much of it is just... You know, this is a regular injury, but since it's Jacob DeGrom and we got to get a story out, he's feeling discomfort, he's not pitching, we're going to talk about it.
Definitely, yeah. This is like his first bullpen too, you know? So it's hard because this is the same song and dance that we've heard a bunch of times, you know? I think, you know, going back to it, we had the conversation where it's bittersweet in the sense that you almost kind of miss it, you know? Like, I almost kind of miss hearing this early spring training. It didn't start until you get a Jacob DeGrom hurt rumor. So I'm sure he'll be fine. Again, I don't wish it either because I think that Jacob DeGrom's one of the best pitchers in the history of the game. And I don't want to take that away from anyone, you know. So definitely hope that he's fine and that it's probably nothing. And like you said, you know, I think it's just a happenstance where you're definitely going to be a little bit more careful with the pitcher of Jacob DeGrom's regard. So
yeah, for sure. And especially when you just, you know, put that much money into him. It was like 5 years, $180 million. Of course you're gonna be a little bit more careful. But that's just, you know, just what happens with Jacob DeGrom. We have a couple other like small injury based stuff. But that is tied to what we were going to get to for the main part of this episode, which is the World Baseball Classic happening starting, I believe, March 8th, and the championship is on March 21st. Now, this is a very cool event. You know, I can't say that I watched it too much growing up. It just started in 2006. And, you know, it's essentially since the Olympics took out baseball in recent years. I know they brought it back from Japan, but I think that was just on request of the Japan Olympics. You know, since it's been gone, and then it hasn't been done since 2017, obviously, due to COVID. So it's very cool to have this event back. Very exciting to see all these superstars that are coming in, you know. Former MVPs, former Cy Young Award winners, former Cy Young and MVP Award winners participating in this event. And I think it's just a really cool thing. You get to see everybody... Like you do with the Olympics, when you get to watch like Team USA play in the Olympics in basketball, you get to see everybody kind of join together to form these super teams to kind of represent their country. And I think that that's really cool. So it is starting soon, and we wanted to kind of, you know, do a little bit of a preview for it. So basically a little rundown on the World Baseball Classic. The teams are separated into four pools. So in Pool A, we have Chinese Taipei, the Netherlands, Cuba, Italy, and Panama. In Pool B, we have Japan, Korea, Australia, China, and the Czech Republic. In Pool C, we have USA, Mexico, Colombia, Canada, and Great Britain. And then in Pool D, rounding it out, we have Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Dominican Republic, Israel, and Nicaragua. And I think that we can probably start off with the most wide open of the pools, which is Pool A, I would say. You know, you have a couple decent squads in there with the Netherlands and Cuba and Italy, but all in all, you're not really working with, like, the real, you know, powerhouses of this. So we can start off real quick with the hosts of this pool, Chinese Taipei. They only have a couple MLBers on their roster, Yu Chang, and I believe Zhu Wei Lin as well. You know, and then we, like we said, we host it. They're the host of this particular pool. And a couple thing, one thing that is noted on the Olympics page for the Chinese Taipei team is that their coaching staff features former New York Yankee hurler Chin-Ming Wong, which is pretty cool. But I think overall, on this side of the team, there's not too much going on there in terms of, you know, players that are more recognizable around there. Even some of the MLBers on the roster are, you know, I'm a little bit familiar with them. There's some of the Red Sox fans in our life are familiar with them because Yu Chang made an appearance on the Red Sox this year. And Zhu Wei Lin was a decently popular, like, role player on the squad for a couple years there. Looking at this first pool, Chris, what's a team that kind of pops out to you?
I think, like, the not to talk about the obvious one, I think Netherlands is the obvious team that kind of jumps off the page as the best team in this pool. But obviously, you know, what I want to talk about, someone near and dear to our hearts and just someone near and dear to baseball podcasting, is Yoenis Cespedes is playing for Team Cuba. Now, I think, again, as I mentioned, you know, Netherlands is probably going to be the Team A out of Pool A. But the fight for second place is going to be really fun between Cuba and Italy. I think they both have pretty comparable rosters. Cuba probably has a little bit more punch, but Team Italy definitely has some fun players. But it's just going to be so cool to see Yoenis Cespedes play baseball again. Haven't heard from him in a very long time, you know, and he definitely, I can imagine him hitting, he's going to hit a few home runs. So it'll be cool to watch him play. And I hope Cuba can make it through so we can get more Yoenis.
Yeah. And Yo, I believe I've said this on this show before. Yo is like one of my favorite players of all time. I'm fascinated by him. One of the main reasons I even got into baseball media, shout out to Cespedes Family Barbecue. He recently made an appearance in the Dominican Winter League, I believe. He got hurt during that time, and there was a little bit of concern, you know, is this the last we're going to see of Yoenis Cespedes? So, really happy to see him out there. And, you know, that other team is also highlighted by players like Yoan Moncada and Luis Robert. I'm a little surprised to see, and I don't know if there's anything, you know, aside from this, that Yoenis' brother Yoelki, who is also in that White Sox system, as we mentioned, the two MLBers on the roster right now, Yoan Moncada and Luis Robert, both part of the White Sox organization. You know, a couple other Cuban-born players that aren't on that roster, you know, people like Jose Abreu and stuff like that. Although I'm sure that he's probably getting used to his new team in Houston as well. And I wonder how much of that plays a role in that, because looking at the Japan team, I know we're going to get down to it later, there are some players that are going to be new on their teams, like Masataki Yoshida, who's just new to the Red Sox, but I don't believe that Kodai Senga was on the roster, and I wonder if that is a concerted decision for somebody that's changed teams to say, like, you know, hey, I want to get used to this new team, these new guys we got around before I go ahead and do this. So as cool as it would be to represent my country, and I recently saw some stuff on that Kodai said about having to adjust to the mound and it being different, so I wonder if that also plays a role, more so for pitchers than hitters. But
yeah, that probably is true. Maybe Brandon Nimmo bent his ear a little bit about the whole Brandon Nimmo saying that he didn't want to play in the World Baseball Classic because he didn't want to get hurt. So all those things, you know, I don't really know what kind of factors into it, but I was surprised to not see Cespedes' brother out there too, but maybe there's something going on.
Yeah, and you mentioned Nimmo, who could have played on either Team USA, or I believe, this could be totally wrong, I believe that he could have played for Team Italy. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry to Brandon Nimmo and his lineage there. But I mainly wanted to use that as a way to get to one of the last notable teams in Pool A, which is Team Italy. This team has a lot of pitchers on it. You know, just looking at it, a lot of pitchers and a lot of catchers. Like, most of their roster is pitching and catching. A couple notable players on there. You have, as far as MLB years go, you have players like Matt Festa, Matt Harvey, who current free agent, you know, maybe a little bit past his prime, but who knows, in a position like this where you're not facing like constant MLB players and you're facing more like players from other leagues and prospects that don't really know your game, who knows, maybe an older pitcher like Harvey can get through there. Other pitchers I see that have played in the MLB years, Andre Pallante, I believe, and Joe Biagini. And then going to the infield, are position players on the roster. You have the likes of David Fletcher, Robel Garcia, Nicky Lopez, and Vinny Pasquantino, who was a big, big prospect coming out of the Royal system last year, not named Bobby Witt, who had a really, really good year in his limited time, so I'm excited to see him play. Another player I wanted to mention, to shout out my alma mater, Hofstra University, is Vito Frisia. Vito Frisia was a member of the team, I believe when I was a freshman or sophomore, went to the MLB, I believe spent some time in the Philly system, and now is going to be representing Team Italy and learning from manager Mike Piazza. So I think that's pretty cool. I think as far as, like you said, it is going to probably come down to Cuba and Italy fighting for that second spot with the Netherlands, who have, you know, multiple, you know, all-star level players in Xander Bogaerts. I believe I saw something that Kenley Jansen is not actually, or he's maybe iffy on playing in this tournament, but other MLBers from that roster go Jonathan Schoop, Jurickson Profar, Chadwick Trump. It's a pretty decent roster, pretty good team, obviously led by Xander Bogaerts, so I think that they have a good shot to represent Pool A. So that, I believe, will do it. Another cool thing that I saw is that Richie Palacios and Josh Palacios, I believe Richie is a prospect in the Cleveland Guardians system, are brothers playing on that team, so I always think that stories like that are really cool. And then lastly, just to really quickly touch on it, the Panama team is the last team in this pool, led by pitchers like Jaime Barria and Justin Lawrence, who is a pitcher for the Colorado Rockies. I know him because he throws kind of like three-quarter sidearm with a lot of heat, and he's really fun to use in a movie, The Show. So shout out to Justin Lawrence there. And moving on to Pool B, and the first 10th pole team in that, the first team that I think is generally going to make a run for the championship there, and that is Japan. You know, obviously led by Shohei Ohtani, who is obviously so good that they have to make his own little list on the roster that says two-way player Shohei Ohtani. But this is also something I thought that was pretty cool, and I don't know if this is something that was like cause for, not concern, but you know, cause for some debate in Japan over the inclusion of Lars Nootbaar, who is the first American-born player on Team Japan ever. His mother is Japanese. But joining along those two, you have the likes of, as we mentioned earlier, Masataka Yoshida, as well as Yu Darvish, Seiya Suzuki, and the MVP of you know, the Japan's baseball league. Munetaka Murakami, who is an absolute baller. Only 22 years old, hit 56 home runs.
Oh, yeah.
And an OPS of 1.168 for the Yakult Swallows. So, yeah, I think that that's going to be exciting. Another really, really exciting player on this Japan team that I want to note that I think is going to be his real breakout. There was a couple stories about him earlier on in the year, in April last year, but I think that this could really be his breakout, is Roki Sasaki, who threw a no-hitter earlier. He's only like 21 years old. He can throw 100. He has all the pitches. He's going to be like a couple of years down the line when he's allowed to be posted, he's going to be like the next big thing coming out of Japan. So really excited to get him to see him pitch. Hopefully we get to see him in one of those situations where he's facing, you know, later on down the line in the bracket, a Dominican Republic or a Team USA. So I think that that's really exciting. But there are a couple of other pretty good teams on this, you know, in this pool, notably Team Korea, which also includes Tommy Edman, Ha Sung Kim, and then the MVP of the KBO, Jung Ho Lee, who for the Kiwoom Heroes had 23 homers, 996 OPS. Just another very good player. Is there anything in this pool that really kind of hits to you?
Well, first, before I get to it, wanna say that a few things about Team Japan that are the coolest things in the world. Their name is Team Samurai Japan, so that's baller. And also, they do have Lars Nootbaar's Japanese translation of his name is Inokita Tatsuji. So I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know if you just have translations of names. That feels odd to me, but that's also really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it's just like how your name would be pronounced in that, you know, in that country. Like how there are different pronunciations. If we're from Portugal, if we were to go to Portugal, there's different ways that you could say our names. I think that it's probably something like that.
Yeah.
If probably. I had to guess, but. Yes, I mean, it's just a really, really good team up and down, as well as the Republic of Korea. A couple other teams in this pool that are of note, Australia. Not too much going on this roster. One notable thing is that Liam Hendricks will not be in the competition due to his recent diagnosis of non-Hodgkin lymphoma. So we are, you know, best of wishes to Liam. In his fight, he's a great guy, and I'm sure that it would have been electric to see him in this, but obviously there are more important things at hand. Hope he gets better. And then the other two teams rounding out this this roster, this pool, is the People's Republic of China, who have no active MLB players, but you know, one thing that I noticed is that they have two players named Chen Chen, which I think is cool. And then the rounding out the pool is the Czech Republic, which, once again, not a ton going on there. I find it funny. So the MLB, when they, you know, when they started marketing this and all the teams got revealed, they did like each pool with like each player representing each pool. And the player that they used for the Czech Republic is Marek Chulup or Chlup. But I kind of found it funny because there is an active MLBer on that roster in Eric Sogard, who they didn't put on there.
Who also won Face of the MLB, mind you.
Yeah, he's...
Or at least beat David Wright for it.
Incredibly popular player. But I think as far as this pool goes, I think you're probably going to be seeing Japan, obviously, and then Korea make it out of there. So I think that that is, once again, not as wide open of a pool as Pool A, but still a pretty fun one, and obviously has our first instance of a team that I really think has a chance to make a run for the championship and win it all. And then now to Pool C, where we start kind of getting these really competitive pools all around. And I'm going to start off with Team USA, you know, really one of the most talented teams out there. I think it's down to really them and the Dominican Republic as far as the two most talented teams on this, you know, in this pool, in this whole entire tournament. So, and a couple cool things, they have Ken Griffey Jr. on the staff, led by Mark DeRosa as the manager, and then obviously just the MVPs on this roster. You got Paul Goldschmidt, Mookie Betts, you know, I was going to say Clayton Kershaw, but did you actually hear that Clayton Kershaw, because of issues with the insurance that is given by the league, is backing out of the tournament?
No, I have not heard this.
Yeah, so there was issues with his insurance. I believe the reporting was that he obviously really wanted to get out there, but there was some issues with, obviously, his injury history, which isn't insignificant, but there were some concerns with the insurance. I believe it was in paying out his contract if he were to get hurt during the World Baseball Classic. There was some concern that he would not actually get his contract paid out. So obviously, faced with that decision of representing the USA in the World Baseball Classic and backing out to kind of preserve his contract, he chose his contract, which absurdly American to have to back out of representing your country because your health insurance couldn't cover it. But yeah, so that kind of leads into the one thing that I think is a huge concern with this team, because, you know, the lineup is going to be fine. The lineup is incredible. All-stars, MVPs, up and down. You know, Mike Trout, didn't even mention Mike Trout earlier, literally the best player in the sport, is finally representing Team USA. Guys I really love, like Kyle Tucker, obviously the two Mets, Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil on the lineup. But as far as pitching goes, it's not a ton. Like, there are, as far as the starting pitching goes, now that you're taking out Clayton Kershaw, and also another player that backed out was Nestor Cortez Jr., due to, I believe, a hamstring issue. As far as the starting pitching goes, there's Merrill Kelly, Lance Lynn, Kyle Freeland, and Adam Wainwright, Miles Michaelis, which is, like, it's not bad starting pitching, but when you're going to be going up against teams like the Dominican Republic and the teams like Japan, where that have these super high-powered lineups, I don't know if that's going to be enough to get you through, and that was something that you would really be looking towards, a player like Nestor Cortez, who had a great season, and players with the pedigree of a Clayton Kershaw there. So I think that it's going to be highly dependent on the bullpen, which is pretty good. Has players like Daniel Bard, Adam Ottavino, Ryan Pressly, Brooks Raley, who have a lot of talent there, but that is a concern, I would say. I think that, obviously, I don't think that their pitching is going to be something that's going to keep them out of the, making it out of the pool round, but I think it's definitely a concern leading into trying to actually compete for winning this championship.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that when you bring it up, it's like, I think that Team USA kind of edges out Dominican Republic in lineup construction, I guess. Just your hitters are just, I feel like it's maybe just a 1A, 1B type situation, but I feel like Team USA is in that 1A. But Dominican Republic also has Sandy Alcantara, you know, yeah, so it's like, exactly. It's like I really do feel that they're gonna really see hurt in the pitching department. One of the teams I do want to talk about, actually, is probably the team that I think is going to come second in this pool, although there are some other teams that could potentially make some noise, but Team Mexico is actually looks really good. You have Giovanni Gallegos, Patrick Sandoval, Julio Urias, Jose Urquidy, Taiwan Walker, Alejandro Kirk, Randy Arozarena, Alex Verdugo, so it's a pretty big lineup there. And kind of opposite of what the issues of Team USA is, Team Mexico's pitching is very good. You know, as I mentioned, having Sandoval, having Urias, having Urquidy, and even Taiwan Walker as your, like, main starters. And you don't even need that many starters to be in the World Baseball Classic. Yeah. So having those players and then also being able to have a Giovanni Gallegos in your bullpen, that's really cool. And then you're hitting, you know, having a Rosarena and Verdugo as your top two hitters and adding in Alejandro Kirk into the mix, pretty cool. And then even other guys like Austin Barnes is another one that's there, Isaac Paredes, Joey Meneses, you know, there's Rowdy Tellez. There's a lot of really fun players here.
Yeah, I think that that's probably going to be the most competitive game they get out of Pool B, very sneakily good team there in Mexico. Couple other teams to mention. I do like the look of this Colombia team a little bit, you know, led by, on the pitching side, led by Jose Quintana, as well as, you know, some other pitchers like Nabil Crismat. You know, I believe Teron Guerrero pitched a little bit in the majors. And then their hitting is pretty solid. You know, they got players like Jose Alfaro, Oscar Mercado, Harold Ramirez, and then Giovanni Urshela and Donovan Solano there. So I think that that's a pretty solid squad. If there was a team that could knock Mexico out of that second spot, I think it's that, because Canada, obviously represented by Freddie Freeman and other guys like Tyler O'Neill, Abraham Toro, and Bo Naylor, I don't think that there's enough there to really get them through. It's a decent roster. I'm pretty sure they'll put up a fun game or two, but I don't think that they're going to really have any contention to sneak in out of the pools. And then Great Britain, it's cool. It would have been cooler if Jazz Chisholm could play, but he's still, you know, making his way back from injuries. And then Trace Thompson, is on the roster, who had a breakout with the Dodgers. Of course, he broke out with the Dodgers last year. Brother of Clay, which is pretty cool. That made me think, like, oh, is Clay Thomas British? But then I remember I did some looking into it, and their father, Michael Thompson, who played for the Lakers, was born in the Bahamas. So by the same way that Jazz would have been through in that Bahamas is, I don't want to get too into my history because I don't know too much about it, but I believe that, you know, Bahamas is a territory of England. So they're on there because of that. But other than that, you know, really no names that are kind of jumping off the page there. So time to get to the last pool, Pool D, which has, I think, some of the other heavy hitters. This is going to be a very fun pool to watch heading out of it. And one that, like, it's going to suck that some of these teams can't make it out.
It's a wild decision. I don't know what the I'm sure this is a randomized decision to choose these pools. Obviously, it's random. But this is a wild pool.
Yeah, because some of these teams are just really, really good. Start off with, you know, let's start off with the Dominican Republic. This is the other tentpole team, the other team that really has a shot to make it out and win this. And probably, if I would say, my pick to win it all. You know, we mentioned the issues the Team USA had with the pitching and the fact that, Jesus, the Dominican Republic does not have that issue. Sandy Alcantara.
No, they do not.
You know, as I just mentioned, Sandy Alcantara, Christian Javier, Rafael Montero, Brian Abreu, who was just, as we just saw in the playoffs, was one of the most unhittable relievers you saw out there. And then, you know, just keep going down the list. There's pitchers galore there. And a really good bullpen as well. Really, really good bullpen with, you know, Hector Neris, Gregory Soto, Diego Castillo, Genesis Cabrera, as we just mentioned, Brian Abreu. And then you get to the hitting, and it's, once again, top to bottom. Just there is not a hole in this lineup. You could maybe say that Gary Sanchez is a hole in the lineup, but that's just because of what we know of him in MLB and his recent struggles. That's not to say that he won't be absolutely crushing it here. And that's probably, I would say, the worst player in their lineup. You know, you look at players that are going to be on the bench. Wander Franco is probably going to be a bench player on this team. You know, Gene Segura might be a bench player. Ketel Marte might end up on the bench on this team. Just top to bottom, so much talent. We've mentioned all the players that aren't going to maybe make it on the the lineup a lot because of some of the players that are in it. Vlad Guerrero Jr., Manny Machado, Juan Soto, Rafael Devers, Teoscar Hernandez, Julio Rodriguez, Eloy Jimenez. I mean, this is a team that would win like 120 games.
Yeah, this
in
is
MLB.
Top to bottom, this team's insane. Also, best part, I think, the team's general manager is Nelson Cruz, and he's also on the team. I love this. That's awesome. As an infielder, that's awesome.
Maybe I don't know all of the job details of being a general manager.
Why is he the general manager?
Like I said, maybe I don't know all the details about being a general manager, because you're not like it. I wonder if that's just like he recruits them and like gets them all together.
It has to be like that.
Because he's not trading Rafael Devers to like Team Nicaragua for a prospect. So maybe, like I said, I'm willing to understand that I am just someone that does not fully understand the breadth of the general manager's work. I did not know that a general manager was necessary for a thing that you don't have to like actively sign and trade players.
It's probably just a saving face thing, but regardless, it's the best thing in the world to know that Nelson Cruz is player general managing. I don't know if that's ever happened before.
Yeah, and then so before we get to the other heavy hitters, I just wanted to mention some of the teams that might not make it too far. You have in this pool Team Israel, who I believe was like kind of a fan favorite in 2017. They're now led by Ian Kinsler. And as far as the MLBers on the roster, you have Richard Bleier, Dean Kremer, Alex Dickerson, Jock Peterson, among others. So probably Jock Peterson leading their way as far as that outfield. I mean, as far as the whole lineup goes, just looking at it now, according to the Olympics website, they only have two outfielders, so a little curious as to how that's going to go. Alex Dickerson and Jock Peterson out there covering all that ground.
They're not going to.
Probably not. And then the other team I wanted to mention real quick is Nicaragua, who we just, you know, just said a little earlier, just through that throwaway joke there. But a couple players on that team include Jonathan Loaiza and Erasmo Ramirez. You know, overall, a decent team. But the other two big teams in this pool are Venezuela and Puerto Rico. So starting off with Venezuela, I like that. So this Olympics thing that we're using to pull off all the rosters just has, like, who were the MLB players on this roster? And some of them, you know, like, they have a couple players in the roster. I believe there are three teams in this pool that just says most of the blank roster has MLB experience. Much of the lineup are everyday starters on MLB. So that's how you can really tell the kind of standouts there. But yeah, I mean, this team has Jose Altuve. It has Ronald Acuna Jr., Salvador Perez. You know, Miguel Cabrera is still making some play on this team. And then, you know, just continuing to go down the line, you have players like Eduardo Escobar, who's obviously really fun. I like that they, now just looking at it, I like that this website listed Nelson Cruz as an infielder, but list Miguel Cabrera as a designated hitter.
I was just on about the roster. To say that. It's awesome.
Which is funny because I'm pretty sure that Miguel Cabrera has probably played in the field more recently than Nelson Cruz has.
Yep.
If I had to guess. But yeah, so just continuing to go down. Eugenio Suarez is going to be really fun there. Andres Jimenez, who just had a real breakout year for Cleveland. This team is really good.
Yeah.
I think between this team and Puerto Rico, there's going to be a really, really good team that gets left on the cutting room floor there. You almost wish that you could let three teams make it through. But as far as the pitching goes, they have pitchers like Pablo Lopez, Jesus Luzardo, Jose Alvarado, Herman Marquez, Martin Perez, and Ranger Suarez. Just, once again, as we said, MLBers up and down the list there. And then the last team that we're going to get to
Jules Chacin coming back, too.
Oh, yeah, Jules Chacin. Cool. That's the other cool thing about the World Baseball Classic is that there are players that, like, make their way back to a roster that aren't really in MLB. You know, their time has kind of faded out, but they're coming back. I believe I saw Jair Gerson's somewhere on one of these rosters. I forget where. I think it was the Netherlands. You can go back and double check that. But yeah, like, just players that really haven't had their shot, you know, too recently in MLB, getting this chance to come back and play on a big stage. But yeah, so going on to the last team in this pool, Puerto Rico. And then this is, once again, I think this one has a real switch up recently, as Marcus Stroman pitched for Team USA in 2017 and then is now pitching on Puerto Rico. So he will join a pitching staff that includes, you know, Emilio Pagan, Hector Santiago, Jose Barrios, and then the Diaz brothers, Alexis and Edwin. Other players on this team, obviously leading the way in the lineup, is Javier Baez, Francisco Lindor, Kike Hernandez is there, and then a couple other, you know, pretty solid young players that have recently made an impact in the majors, Nelson Velasquez and Jose Miranda, who I felt was pretty good. MJ Melendez, I don't know if he's even going to get a lot of catching time because he's with Martin Maldonado, who, as we know, is not a very good hitter, but can lead a pitching staff incredibly well, and Christian Vasquez, who's very good. So, once again, I think that, obviously, Team DR is going to make it out, but really, between Venezuela and Puerto Rico, who do you think is going to even make it out of this?
I don't know. This feels like a coin flip. Looking at the rosters, I do almost feel that Venezuela might be a touch more well-rounded. But I do think that, you know, Puerto Rico just, it's like, if you can pitch Edwin Diaz, like, you're going to win the game, you know? So it's like, it's just one of those things where, you know, and also, I hate to put it like this, but there is a lot of pride playing in Puerto Rico. Not saying there isn't a lot of pride playing in Venezuela, But I do think that Puerto Rico might be one of those teams that can kind of get the whole island behind them and push that. So I feel like Venezuela is more well-rounded, but I work with too many Puerto Ricans where they would kill me if I said that Venezuela was going to win. So I'm going to choose Puerto Rico as the second team through. And just to cap, Haier Jurgens was from the Netherlands. I do not know where I pulled that out of my ass. I don't know why I knew that.
Maybe we could have just saw him on the roster or saw him around, but yeah, I don't know, because... Oh, and then another really cool thing about Team Puerto Rico is that they are being managed by Yadier Molina this year. I think that's really cool. It's tough. Like, looking at it, I kind of think that Venezuela is better. You know, they have the star power of the Altuve, Ronald Acuna Jr., and who knows if Miguel Cabrera still has something left in the tank for this tournament. And then I do think that their pitching is just a little bit better. I think they have some of the starting pitching edge on there with players like Jesus Luzardo and Pablo Lopez and Herman Marquez, who I really like. I think I would just barely edge it out in favor of Venezuela. But once again, it's one of those things where I just wish that all three of them could make it, because those are three of maybe the five or six best teams in this pool, and one of them isn't even going to make it to the quarterfinals. So I think after we've gone over pretty much every team there, I guess the way to kind of finish this out, maybe not necessarily doing our picks to like go through the whole thing, but just kind of saying, like, who do you think is going to be in the championship? First off, just to kind of go over it, the way that it would be is you go through your round robin play and then you go into the quarterfinals, which will be the Pool B runner-up versus the Pool A winner, and then the Pool A runner-up versus the Pool B winner, and then the same with Pools C and D, and then they would go into the quarterfinals at that point, and then over to the, you know, finals. So I think, obviously, this would probably go down between the two best teams, which are the Dominican Republic and the USA. But since they're on the same side of the pool, this probably won't go to the championship, which is why I think that Japan is probably going to make it all the way down to the championship. And then I still think it's tough between Team USA and Team Dominican Republic, because, like, the thing is that, yes, there is the pitching imbalance there, but also when you get to the point of, like, quarterfinals and semifinals, it is, I think, single elimination. So you get to that point where you just need one good outing out of, I don't know, like Merrill Kelly. You just need like one six-inning outing of one-run ball, and you find yourself in a position to win.
Yeah. I still find it where we say that, you know, but then also that's the same for the Dominican Republic, you know. Like, they just need one other smaller guy to step up to. So,
yeah.
It could be interesting, you know. I wonder too, like, how much of the whole spring training and effects of even like a Cy Young season has on Alcantara and stuff like that. But I don't know. I feel like it's gonna be, you know, something like Dominican and Japan kind of in the finals there. But it's definitely gonna be fun. This is the most excited for the World Baseball Classic I feel like I've been.
Yeah, same. And as much as I love debate, I would probably have to agree with you. I think it's going to go down to Japan versus the Dominican Republic, and then I would have the Dominican Republic winning. Just too much star power in that lineup. I mean, one of the worst performing MLBers on that roster that's going to be starting probably is Ketel Marte, and even then, that's because he's playing on a Diamondbacks roster that he's like the main focus in that lineup, aside from Christian Walker and some other solid pieces. But for a while, he's been like the main guy that you have to pitch to. So, of course, he probably isn't going to as well in situations like that. But also, he's like maybe the worst hitter on that team. So, I don't know. But when your worst hitter has been one of the better second basemen in the past 5 years, it's a pretty good problem to have.
Yeah. I don't normally ask the questions here, but I'll posture one question to you. Who's one player, and maybe this is obvious, maybe we already talked about it, but what's one player that you're excited to see? And it could be a superstar, it could be someone further down the line.
I was going to say Roki Sasaki for Japan. Because once again, that's just a guy that this is going to likely be his coming out party. And it's going to be the thing that gets a lot of people. And once again, I don't think that even legally he can be posted until like 3 or 4 years down the road. But this is going to be somebody that you might see in MLB in the coming future that's just electric on the mound. And he's just incredibly talented. Like we said, throws 100, his nasty pitches. I'm just going to be very excited to see what he can do. And I hope that he gets a chance against one of these more high-powered lineups to really show off his stuff.
Yeah.
I'll extend that same question to you.
That definitely feels like it's, if you remember, you know, Shohei in the World Baseball Classic a few years ago, like, it was that level of excitement. Like, wow, we get to watch this guy pitch, and he's probably going to be a stud in the MLB in a few years from now. So that was really cool. I'm going to give the trolley answer here. We already talked about Yoenis Cespedes being one of the more really exciting players just for both of us, just for showmanship value. But I actually do really want to see Matt Harvey pitch. You know, I'm maybe he's going to get a draw of one of the lower teams there in their pool. And it could just be fun to see a guy out there, you know, the prime that he had, and then just the fall, and even worse, the actual outside of baseball things that have been going on with Matt Harvey.
Yeah.
But I do kind of want to see him get back out on the mound and see if there's anything that he can kind of do, and see him just represent, you know, something. So I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, as far as that team goes, also, I am excited for Vinny Pascantino to show up his stuff.
Just so many, like, interesting names.
Yeah, once again, it's just a tremendous, you know, collection of talent all around. So I think that that's obviously really cool. So I think that was pretty solid on the episode. We did that. So yeah, do you want to remember some guys, Chris?
I do have one. This is from a while back, obviously, but I wanted to kind of tie it to the World Baseball Classic, and to be completely honest, I thought he was in the World Baseball Classic, and then I remember he wasn't. But do you just want me to go first, or do you want to go?
Yeah, go for it.
My remember some guys is someone, now again, remember this was a hitter that is much more recent than we would have thought, but it's definitely, I feel, still, interestingly enough, qualifies for our parameters here, and it is Chris Davis, of the Baltimore Orioles fame.
I was gonna say, which, with a K or with a C?
Both of them actually are good, remember, some guys.
Hold on, one's still actively in the league.
Yeah, well, maybe you can still remember him. But I feel like, you know, Chris Davis just, it's such an interesting career that he had. He was on top of the world. And then he also, he was on the top of the world in one breath. And then he was also, about as far down as you could get in another breath. You know, having, I don't have it up, but I forget how long game hitless streak he had.
I believe it was over that 53.
Traversed seasons, you know. So it's just insane to see that and whatnot. But yeah, Chris Davis is my guy.
A little surprised he's only a one time All Star.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think a power, you know, a power hitter, but did he ever do the home run derby?
I don't know.
If not, that's a complete missed opportunity.
But yeah, one-time All-Star in 2013. That was the year he hit 53 home runs. So that makes sense. But yeah, just never, you know, and then he had a string from 2012 all the way down to 2017 or so, where he was hitting about, he had 226 home run seasons there, but he was hitting about 30 home runs a season, with 53 and 47 home runs being kind of the big ones there. And even had some interesting seasons in Texas in the beginning of his career too, so a few 17 and 21 home run season there. So yeah,
so in his All-Star season, he did make the home run derby, And I see here that he broke a callus in his hand during his second swing of the second round and had a bandage on the injury. So he had the bloody hand game there in the home run derby.
No, it was a ketchup packet in his hand.
Yeah. So I believe that was the... Was that the first or second derby that Yoenis won? Because he won the one in City, if I remember correctly. I won't go too deep down that rabbit hole, but that is a very good pick. Once again, just kind of befitting the kind of spirit of this, where it's just a guy that did one thing insanely well, or just had one trait that really stuck out, and then you kind of roll with that. My guy is along the same lines. As I was looking into it, a lot less prominent. I thought he was a power hitter. I thought he had way more homers than he had. My pick is Willy Mopeña, who's just a big time slugger in every sense of the word. I believe there's this is a shout out to one of my friends on Twitter, Fitzy Mopeña, who is a big Willy Mo guy. Just has some of the most colossus home runs you've seen. I believe he put stuff around the catwalks at Tropicana Field. But then looking at it, he only had one season hitting more than 20 home runs. When he was with the Red Sox, which is when I knew him, obviously, he only had 16 home runs in around 160 games, which is funny. Just not at all what I remembered him being, probably because at that time, one of my major, exposure to MLB was through playing MLB The Show. And on MLB 06 The Show, he probably had a stacked player that had 99 power just because of the shots that he would hit. So I thought that he was significantly better, especially in the power department, than he actually was. But yeah, that is my guy, Willy Mo.
Yep, Willy Mo Pena is definitely a fun one. I definitely remember also, I'm trying to see, let me see, show minors. So he played a little bit in Pawtucket. So again, we're kind of Rhode Island based, and he played a little bit in Pawtucket in 2006, which would have been where we might have seen him, which would have been really cool. It's probably one of the ways that we remember him. It's just Willy Mo definitely was one of those, like you said, felt like it was light tower power, but it wasn't. I think I remember a few weeks
ago. It was light tower power, but it just wasn't light tower power that happened 45 times a year.
A few weeks ago, I think my guy was Matt Stairs or something, and I remember thinking that Matt Stairs was just this, Billy Butler.
Yeah.
Billy Butler was just this crazy power hitter, and looking back at his actual stats, he really wasn't. Just definitely interesting, Willie Moe's definitely another one, and zero-time All-Star there, so
love it. So he definitely fits in. I think that just about does it for this episode of Ball 5. Chris, any parting thoughts?
No, I think it was definitely a fun one to do in person, definitely fun to talk about World Baseball Classic, starting to, again, get that kind of baseball in the air, lovey-dovey feelings there, so just can't wait to get it all started.
Definitely. Very, very excited. I think in the future, probably within the next episode or two, we will probably do our just general season preview for the league. And very, very excited. Can't wait to get going. Can't wait for the inaugural. I guess this is really the inaugural season of the Ball 5 podcast. Oh, we started off in the postseason. But I don't think that necessarily counts. And then, hopefully you guys stick around with us. Hopefully you keep enjoying it. Just to really prove that we are in the same room, Chris and I are going to high five right now.
That doesn't prove anything.
You definitely heard that. Whatever. It proved it to me. But hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you guys continue to listen. And we will see you in a couple weeks. Be sure to... This was really bad to put it this late in the podcast, but... give us a 5-star rating if you'd like. Follow us on Twitter, Ball5Pod. And then, keep on enjoying it.
Yeah, hell yeah. See ya.